This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, 306 on a Friday on DGS. Dave taking the day, having a long weekend, and he'll be back on Monday. Obviously, the three of us are still here. Dave, again, back on Monday. Dave Murray's going to join us in half an hour. Bernie Miklas will join us at 4 o'clock. A lot to talk about with Bernie related to the Cardinals, and he had a really good piece on YouTube earlier today. I'm going to have him lay out for you, and then you can go watch it. He's doing great. The stuff he does every day on the videos is just phenomenal. If you've been a Bernie listener for a long time, which obviously I have, I mean, I've been listening to Bernie it's funny because for years we worked together. Like, his show was right before mine. So we were back to back. So not only would I hear the show going in and listen to it while I was there, but we would do crossover and hang out and all that. But if you've been listening to him for a long time, reading his work when he was at the Post-Dispatch, you know how detail oriented he is. And that's what you're getting on those videos on his YouTube channel. But there are a couple things we'll get into with him a little bit later on. I guess it's time for Stairway to Me.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what we call it when Dave's not out? Stairway to Me?
Stairway to Kevin.
All right, so I'm going off the cuff on this because I wasn't really planning this, but I saw something on TV literally 2.5 minutes ago that caught my attention, and I thought it might be a fun conversation. They were talking on CNN about, all right, now I'm forgetting the country. Might have been Iceland. It might be Iceland. That's not really relevant to the conversation. But Iceland apparently has gone to a 4-day work week.
Oh, good for them.
And it's one of those lands. It's Finland or Iceland or something like that. But I think it was Iceland. But they went to a 4-day work week. And the reports are coming back now that their economy is as strong as it's ever been. Unemployment is super low. People are obviously very happy having 3 days off every single week. Now, I think that it's... And Amy makes this point all the time, and I think she's 100% correct. You can't really compare a tiny country to a huge country. Like, what works in a small country that's the size of, you know, a moderately large state, if it's even that, is not necessarily going to work with 330 million people as smoothly, as easily, as well. But are there things you guys think that we just do because we've always done them that we could think about doing better or doing differently? Like, if you were starting over, would you think that we would agree, yeah, we should be working 40 hours a week or 5 days out of the week and only have 2 off days? Would we set it up this way again if we actually had the choice? And I know we don't have a choice. Nobody does, except, you know, I mean, like, we understand. I understand how this developed and why it did. And by the way, the fact that it did develop this way, it might be why the United States is what it is, right? I mean, it's been the preeminent superpower in the world for a very long time. And, you know, big economic engine, obviously, big military, the whole deal. But if there are things like that that you would change, to me, that one would be an automatic. If somebody said, yep, we're going to the 4-day work week and you're not going to make less because we're going to generate the same amount of work in this in just a little bit less time. We're going to have a lot less downtime than we normally do. Or, you know, we're going to hire more people to do things. That seems like everybody would kind of be okay with that, right? Like, are there other things you think we're missing because we've just always done it a certain way and we're used to it and nobody wants to go through the trouble of changing things?
Does it have to be workplace related?
No, it could be any. I mean, literally anything that we do on a large scale. Like, I could give the example of the way that we do our taxes, the way that it's done, as opposed, you know, instead of us having to send to them what we're doing, they could send us a bill. I know that's more complicated. I'm just saying that that's just an example of things. There are things that, you know, we could have decided to do differently. We could do elections differently. You know, we could do the Electoral College differently. You guys know how I feel about that. But I think all of these things, by now they've been so established, they seem like such a chore to try to change.
Yeah.
That we don't even bother. But are there things you'd like to change?
The first thing that comes to mind for me would be changing the way we do healthcare. It just seems like we're doing it the worst possible way right now.
The worst of all worlds.
Yeah, like mm-hmm.
It's expensive and it's not that great.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, if you don't have a certain kind of job, it's pretty inaccessible. I just don't think that you should, this whole, like, it's through your employer and you still pay a ton. It's like, well, then what are we doing? I don't understand. I don't understand why we can't incentivize more people to become nurses and doctors so there's less of a strain on the healthcare system. Like, not make it easier to, because those are professions where you should have to jump through hoops, but maybe not make it so very expensive to become a doctor. Mm-hmm. Because I think for a lot of people, there's probably smart people out there who are born into, you know, less affluent situations who are just like, I can't afford $200,000 to go to med school or whatever else.
Yeah.
If we could start by creating more jobs like that and just to where it's not such a strain. And it's not such a big deal to see a doctor, and it's not an exorbitant amount of money just to get your health taken care of. That's what I would like to see you change. But taxes, like, just send me the bill.
Yeah, keep it simpler. Yeah. Again, I know that there are people that itemize. I mean, I itemize. We go through our accountant and do all that. But then we would have the choice to do it the other way if we wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I know it's probably not that much different than just doing the standard right deduction, because that's not that much work. You're not finding receipts and keeping track of things. But there are definitely easier ways there. Anything stand out to you, Andrew? Could we do anything differently?
I mean, yeah, I you guys know I feel very strongly about the healthcare thing.
Yeah.
So I think I would probably
I think it's a pretty good guideline. You hear it repeated a lot, but I think it's hard to argue against that nobody should go broke because they get sick.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like, nobody should go broke because their mom gets sick or because their dad gets sick or because their kid gets sick.
And for what it's worth,
like, that's not something we should accept.
Anybody who's out there listening who disagrees with, you know, the way that I feel about healthcare stuff, I'm going to remind you, I've seen it time and time again, you disagree because you're healthy and your loved ones are healthy. And the minute
once
that changes,
you've gone through it, yeah.
Minute that changes, I swear your tune will change.
Yeah. And again, it's I understand that there are, you know, quote unquote principles at play, but I favor practicality over principles. I would rather make sure that people don't lose their homes because their kid got cancer.
You know,
I mean, like that, and you shouldn't have to turn to a GoFundMe to keep your house. Like, that's not okay. Not in a country that has the wealth that we have. It's just not okay.
I also think that school lunch should just be a given. I didn't always feel that way, but the older I get, the more I'm like, you are requiring children to sit in school all day and then you're making it their for kids to go hungry, it just doesn't make any sense to me. It's like, if you are saying, like, you have to go to school and we're taking care of you for these 8 hours, then just feed them a lunch too.
Yeah.
It can't be that much more expensive.
Mm-hmm. No, not for the simple things too. There's things like this. Like, this is a broad, I'm going to use a specific example, but I'm going to apply it to a more broad scope. But I really wish we would stop essentially, quote unquote, initiating people that are new to a business, right? I mean, we almost treat it like you have to be tortured to reach the top.
And paying your dues.
So, like, one example to me would be making residents at a hospital work 80-hour work weeks. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah,
I understand the need, right? Which is what you're getting into. We could make it so that we can encourage more people to do those things. Maybe by not forcing people to never have a life for their entire age 20 decade. You know, I mean, like, between medical school and then being a resident and doing, like, there's no reason why it should be an 80-hour work week.
Mm-hmm.
You're just abusing it because, let's be honest, it's cheaper probably to do it that way than to hire more people. And to hire, like, actual medical staff that aren't residents, right? The people that have already moved on beyond that. Because, again, we know this, the longer you work, the more you work, the less good you're going to be at whatever you're doing. Fatigue is real. It's unavoidable. Nobody is Superman. Caffeine doesn't fix it. And yet we still do this. And we do this in all kinds of businesses and industries, that you must suffer first. You know, our business, the media business, it's going away from it, but our big thing forever was internships. You're going to work for nothing. Mm-hmm. That's how you get your foot in the door. That's how I started. I worked for nothing.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, like, that doesn't make any sense. It's a for-profit business. You should pay people that work. That's something that I wish we would stop as a whole, is abusing people that are new to a field and trying to rise in that field. All right, 3:22 on DGS. Dave out today. Be back on Monday. It is time now for Razor's Edge.
All right, let's talk about smartphone use with kids. This is something that we've talked about quite a bit on the show, but I found a story from across the pond. This is happening in England. Mm-hmm. A mum...
Jolly old London.
Absolutely. A mum has said her 11-year-old daughter...
G'day, mates. Oh, wait, that's Australia.
Her 11-year-old daughter returned home from school in tears because she didn't have a smartphone to use in class. So the story starts out by saying when the kids get to sixth grade, the school kind of acts like a smartphone is almost required for them. They say, like, get a backpack, get notebooks, and get a smartphone. But you obviously don't have to buy a smartphone for your kids. But the vast majority of parents are, by that time, getting an iPhone or a smart Android phone for their child. Well, Celeste Lewis says her daughter missed out by not having a smartphone. She had naturally assumed that smartphones would not be used in class, but her daughter, Ava, came home crying within the first week or two of classes starting at her high school because she didn't have one to use. I guess high school starts in year six. In England, but they were using the phone for assignments, and she wasn't able to do it. She just has an old Nokia phone that, you know, you can call and text, but you can't look up stuff online. What do you feel about that? I feel like for a school to be like, okay, kids, now get out your smartphone for the assignment is almost like overstepping a little bit, especially if it hasn't been confirmed in advance that all the kids have these phones already, right?
Look, these smartphones are becoming ubiquitous. I guess they already are. But they are still a very expensive piece of technology that not everybody has or even really wants to have, especially not for children. You know what I mean? So it is. I really think it's wrong to... You know what I mean? It's not that much different to me than telling all the children, like, well, this homework must be done from the second floor of your house.
Right.
Like, well, maybe we don't have a second floor and we're not going to have a second floor. Why would you make that a part of your curriculum?
Well, there's an organization called Smartphone Free Childhood, and Celeste Lewis is a member of that. So that's why her daughter Ava didn't have a smartphone in the first place. And they campaign for parents to reconsider what age they allow their children to have these phones. Both England and Scotland issued guidance designed to help schools ban smartphones earlier this year. Northern Ireland even did the same last month, but schools in Wales are encouraged to make their own choice, meaning some neighboring schools have different policies. So I guess in England and Scotland, they are just banning smartphones all over the place. I suppose this is happening in Wales. I'm sorry, I'm not smart enough to know the difference between all these places.
It's just a part of England. Or the UK. Just call all the UK and you're covered.
Yeah, United Kingdom.
I do not like anybody in a classroom setting saying that you have to have a certain piece of technology. At that level. Like, if you're in college and one of your requirements is you have to have a laptop. Okay. I mean, most college kids have them. My kid needed one. That's fine. And because at that level, you're already spending so much money that it's, you know, if you're just, just another add-on, you know, it's just another part of it. But you can see how that would be a thing that's important to have for people like that, for kids at that age. Why do you need your smartphone in class?
Yeah, you would think they would try to keep kids off of their phones as much as possible in class.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I know that I don't know their education system as well as I know ours, and I don't know ours as well as I probably should. But if it's something that's going to be required, then maybe it should be in the classroom. Like, you should have a computer lab. Maybe you should have phones that are on the school district's dime.
Mm-hmm.
And you buy a bunch of them, and anybody that doesn't have one gets to use one. While they're in class. Just the idea that you're going to assume that people of a certain age are going to have them takes away a little bit of the autonomy of the parents. The parents may not want their kid to have one, as you're talking about with this case.
Kind of in the same vein here, Norway has announced a new ban on young people on social media. They want to enforce a strict minimum age limit of 15 because they think that tech companies are pitted against small children's brains and they need to fight against the power of the algorithms. They acknowledge this is going to be an uphill battle, though, because more than half of 9-year-olds in Norway, 58% of 10-year-olds, and 72% of 11-year-olds are already on social media.
Yeah, that part, that's, I mean, I'm a believer that this should all be left up to parents. You should decide what your kid is allowed to be exposed to in those things. I mean, if you want to take your child to an R-rated movie, you're more than allowed to. You're free to do it. It's not a great idea. But
right.
you it's all of it is 17 plus unless accompanied by a parent. So if your parent wants to bring you to a horror movie and you're 10, they can. They have to be there with you, but they can. I want to leave those decisions up to mom and dad, but I still, like, my judgment was not at 9 or 10. My kid didn't get one until she was 13.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, just after 3:30 here on DGS. Dave out for this Friday, taking a long weekend, but that's just one Dave. We got two Daves around here. Dave Murray's with us today, even though Dave Glover is taking the long weekend. How you doing, Dave?
Yeah, that usually means a tattoo, so I don't know.
Yeah, I don't.
Not today.
Yeah,
I don't think
that's the plan today. I think this is just taking advantage of the opportunity. And, you know, we all do that every once in a while.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely.
I mean, we all take days when you need days, right? Or when you have an official thing planned. But sometimes
yes.
The good ones are just the random ones. Just like,
yeah.
You know what?
That's true.
I got days to use. I'm going to use one. And
yep.
You just do what you want to do.
And as I've always said, if you have days and you don't use them, you're full.
Take advantage, right?
True.
Yeah. I mean, you deserve, you're getting that, whether it be in a contract form or union, whatever the case may be. If you have time off and you let it slide, you don't get those days back.
So true.
Most places, you don't. Yep. Most places,
you don't. There used to be back in the day, you could carry things over.
Yeah, or at least a percentage or whatever.
Yeah. That was good. I enjoyed that.
Yeah. This year I have 17 weeks. This
right.
Because I haven't taken time in 4 years.
That's right.
All right. Well, you know, we got the first day in a while, Dave, that actually looks like the fall, even though it doesn't totally feel like it.
Yeah, well, it's not bad. Temperatures in the 60s. We had a little cool front come by. A couple of showers around this morning. Little rumbles of thunder here and there. Not the kind of rain that we need, but it's opening up the northwest flow. We will clear out, not so much this evening, but overnight we'll clear out at 48 for the low. Saturday is a spectacular day. Lots of sunshine. 65 for the high in the afternoon. That's exactly where we should be this time of year. Saturday night, partly cloudy skies. A quick tumble out of the 60s and almost through the 50s for evening plans. 43 for the overnight low. Sunday, sunny and delightful. 67. Monday, partly sunny. Now, it's going to be a little chilly first thing in the morning on Monday, but a fast warm-up. 78 degrees, and we're going to be hanging around 80, 81 on Tuesday and Wednesday. Still thinking we've got some showers moving in here Wednesday night and for Thursday morning, and still hopeful that that will clear out. At least the rain will stop for trick-or-treat time on Thursday.
Sounds pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And not bad, not bad.
Yeah, Ronj was complaining earlier because it's going to be 80 next week or something along those lines. I'm like, come on,
that's
buddy.
What happens.
80's good, though.
Yeah, you know, 80s are fine.
80's
and, you
a
know,
good
when,
temperature.
When I had this stuff in the long-range forecast, I really like it.
Yeah, and as Dave always says, the other Dave, not you, because I wouldn't call you that when I'm talking to you. I would just say, hi, Dave. when it's 20 degrees, when it's 18 degrees, when it's 4 below with the wind chill,
yep.
You'll be like, man, 80 sounds good.
80 sounds great. Hey, you know what? In those conditions, 60 sounds good.
Yeah, in that time, if it's 45, you're like, woo! My favorite thing, I like a lot about St. Louis. Obviously been here for 18 years, longer than I've lived almost anywhere else on the planet. Actually, I think I'm now past the amount of time that I lived in my original hometown before I went off to college.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's awesome. And I love it here. And one of the things that I really love, because I come from places where when it snows, it stays forever. Mm-hmm. I love it when we can hit a big snowstorm and I look ahead and I'm like, it's going to be gone in 2 days.
Yep.
Because it's going to be 50
and
in
even
2 days.
Even in the dead of winter, we have these temperature bounces
that
at least gives you encouragement.
I mean, it, and a lot of times, not only does it give me encouragement, Dave, but it also allows me to skip on using the shovel or the snowblower. Where I'm like, I don't need to do that. In 2 days, it's going to be gone.
Oh, but it's so much fun, though.
I like the snowblower. But yes, not when it's the wet, heavy snow.
No.
That's a pain in the butt.
No, the classic St. Louis snow. The snowblower is no fun.
No, it gets jammed up, and you kind of keep playing with it. But on the nice, fluffy, light snow, when it's like extra cold out and it's nice and dry, oh, man, it's just it's like art. Love it so much. I remember the day that I moved into the first place we lived in when we moved to St. Louis. I was unloading the moving truck, and the neighbors that were like right there with us, they're all, you know, everybody's introducing themselves, and one of the neighbors comes up, and I'm rolling a snowblower off the truck. He's like, you're not going to need that here. That was in January, and about 2 weeks later, we got smacked with snow, and I'm out front doing that while he's shoveling, and I'm like, you want me to take care of that for you, buddy? Because this thing's going to go a lot faster.
And why not? Because it's so much fun when it's dry snow. I had been known for doing 4, 5, 6 driveways in the mornings.
Nice. Did you have, now being here, did you have like one of the real big, heavy duty ones or a smaller one?
Just a little thing. You know, I think the opening was about 12 inches, 13 inches kind of thing.
I got a little small electric
one.
That's
all you needed.
You just change the battery after about 30 minutes and boom, let's go. It's quiet. That's the best thing about the Electro one. It's super quiet. Love it. You interested in that, Rach? You want to get a snowblower?
I would like one. I just don't have a house, so I don't have a place to like keep
them. Well, then don't get one.
Probably don't get one. Probably don't get
one. Someday when I have a garage, I will get a snowblower.
I always advise it. Even if you only need it once a year, that time you need it, you're going to be like, thank God. Thank God. Let's do some headlines.
All right. Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. Am I the only one who's very troubled over this E. coli situation with the onions at McDonald's? And more fast food chains are now pulling onions off the menu. Yum Brand says that some KFC, Taco Bell, and Pizza Hut locations are pulling onions out of an abundance of caution. Burger King has also tossed out onions at 5% of their locations. The outbreak has been linked to onions from a Colorado-based supplier.
So they're all getting their onions from the same places?
I guess so.
Probably.
Well, guess what? I don't do onions typically. I'm always like, you can leave those.
Mm-hmm. I grow my own.
What?
Grow my own.
You
onions.
Do?
Oh yeah.
Nice.
That doesn't mean that you couldn't have a problem, because it depends on how you store them and all that stuff. But I've got a ton of onions.
Look at that.
I used to like it whenever the wild onions would get big enough to where it's like, I could use this as a real onion at this point. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
There are wild onions?
Sure.
You've never seen wild onions before?
I don't think I've ever seen wild onions. No.
They grow everywhere around here.
They do grow everywhere, especially your lawn.
Mm-hmm.
I have never seen a wild onion.
Like, you've never like been out in someone's like grass or lawn or whatever, and you just kind of smell onions?
Nope.
And you're like, what is that? Well, that's because they're little onions.
Did not know this.
Very
I learned something. Thank you, guys.
Mm-hmm.
More products have been added to the frozen waffle recall. Speaking of the E. coli thing, there's more stuff happening. Treehouse Food says all products manufactured at one of its facilities will be recalled, including frozen waffles and pancakes. These products were sold at a wide range of stores across the U.S. and Canada, including Walmart, Target, Kroger, Publix, Aldi, and Dollar General. If you'd like to take a look at the full list of recalled products, you can go to treehousefoods.com. But I know like Kodiak pancakes, those protein things, those were on there.
Those are so good. I haven't had them in a long time, thankfully. So I guess I'm safe. Those are good, though.
Something to look into if you if you buy that type of stuff.
Mm.
Let's keep on the food theme here. Here's a couple of things I didn't get to in fast food news. Thought this was interesting. DiGiorno's Thanksgiving pizza is back. I'm not sure if we've ever talked about this.
I don't recall even ever hearing of it.
So it was only available for purchase in limited quantities online. But this year's batch can be found starting this month at supermarkets across the U.S. It's a Thanksgiving pizza featuring a Detroit-style crust topped with roasted turkey, gravy sauce, green beans, dried cranberries, mozzarella, cheddar, and crispy fried onions. It's like a Thanksgiving feast minus the mashed potatoes, stuffing, and pie on a pizza.
So minus three of the big things.
Right. Dave Murray made a noise that made me think he does not like this.
It just doesn't sound good to me. Yeah. I would try it. You know, if somebody said, here it is. I don't think I would buy it.
Would you serve it for Thanksgiving dinner?
No, of course not.
Hey, guys, we're just going to put it all on a pizza this year.
Things a little slow this year.
And I'm wondering if Andrew has heard about that. Do you use the Taco Bell mobile app, Andrew?
I have.
The mobile app is now offering a new Name Your Price tool, which randomly selects menu items at the price point of your choice to create your perfect meal within your ideal pricing range. So you can set a price point ranging from $5 to $25. You can also pin different menu items and then run the tool again until you get a combination that you like. So I guess you just say like, hey, I want to spend $7. And then it spins the wheel and shows you the different items you can get for that price.
I like it. I think it's a great idea, and it's a shame that that's where we are with stuff like fast food now. It's a shame that it's not just, I mean, Taco Bell especially has just gotten so much more expensive.
It is quite expensive.
Yeah, but they always have a great deal, though. They always have something, like the one, what's their new $7 box?
The Lux box.
And it's always a ton of food. It always is.
Yeah.
I mean, I it may not be exactly what we, like, it's not always what I want. It may not always be the items that I want. But in any time I've ever been starving and I know I want to spend less money than, you know, than I would anywhere else, that's always the choice. Go get the $7 box. Even you know, the ones they used to do, too, are sometimes $9.99. But it's always loaded because they lead with a burrito and the burritos are hefty.
Did you see that Josh Reynolds was shot in Denver, Wheels?
The wide receiver, yeah.
Yes, from the Broncos. He's recovering after being injured in a shooting last week in Denver. Two men are facing charges of attempted murder.
Yee.
Reynolds and another man were injured in the early morning shooting after they were followed from a club. Reynolds was shot twice.
Strip club.
Yeah,
strip club.
From a strip club.
Was
I was
it?
Trying to keep it classy. Yeah.
We don't have to class
club.
It up.
Reynolds was shot twice in the left arm and in the back of the head. Another man was shot in the back. Reynolds is receiving treatment for minor injuries.
Another example. Nothing good happens after midnight.
I can say that that's not entirely true.
Well, no, that's true. It's
not
true.
Entirely true. But I will say your odds of something bad do go up after midnight.
Yeah.
Dave, thanks so much.
All right. Have a great weekend.
All right, Friday on DGS. Dave's off today. I wonder if Dave took the day just to rest up for early next week for the Halloween stuff.
Maybe.
What do you think? Maybe. 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 I'll text him and ask him. Obviously, we got a lot planned for next week with Halloween. Andrew, you did a good job teasing it earlier. What do we got?
We're going to play some old shows Monday and Tuesday, some prior Halloweens that I think people really enjoy.
What was the big one that you said I needed to listen to?
Well, we're going to run the Sally House
that
and
Sally
also
House.
The Jefferson Barracks. I think those, you will enjoy those both.
Nice.
And those will be at 3 o'clock on Monday and Tuesday.
Cool.
And then we'll play some listener stories, some original writings of Dave's on Wednesday and Thursday. It's a good time.
So we'll have fun with that. And obviously, it's not too early now. I mean, we can definitely do some Halloween stuff today. I mean, I got to wear a costume tonight.
Oh yeah. It's spooky season.
Let's do it. You got a list of movies?
I do. I have a list from USA Today of the 75 best horror movies of this century, and we're starting at number 75. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to do the top 10.
We're going to go through the whole list.
We got an hour to go, people.
But this is from the 21st century, the top horror movies. Starting with number 10, this is a new one, The Substance. I have not seen this film, but it looks very, very interesting. I would like to see it whenever it starts streaming.
Is that the new one?
Yeah.
It's the new one with Demi Moore and the one pretty girl whose name I don't remember.
Margaret Qualley.
Yes.
Where's she from? I know who that is.
She was in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Didn't see that. I know what it was. She was the Leftovers. I think she was in
Leftovers.
Yeah.
The next one is Black Swan, which I
didn't really consider to be a horror movie. That's a horror movie?
I thought of it more of as a thriller.
Like a psychological thriller. I didn't see that one either.
It Follows is number 8. Have not seen that one.
That's a good one.
The Babadook, which I just rewatched earlier this week.
Babadook.
Not as scary as I remember, but still quite scary.
Yeah, I've never seen it, but I saw a trailer for it or something because I was scrolling through stuff. I was on Netflix and it played. Mm. And I just heard that part where it goes, Babadook.
Mm-hmm. But I was watching it with captions on, so I knew it was the Babadook.
It, right?
Yeah, it's like, oh, come on. Well, I know who's on the phone now.
Because it's the monster.
Yes. Number 6, Hereditary, which was quite scary.
Oh, yeah.
Number 5, Get Out. Not really a scary movie, more of a thriller.
I didn't think so either. It was creepy. Because there's different kinds of horror, right? Mm-hmm. There's like the slasher stuff. There's scary, and then there's creepy. I think that one falls in the creepy.
Number 4 is The Witch, which I've seen, and
yeah,
it is
one,
it's
scary.
All right. It's all right.
The Wailing, I have never even heard of this movie before.
Oh, I was thinking it like whales.
Yeah,
like,
is it whale like?
No, it's wailing.
Yeah, wailing like
W-A-I-L.
Yes. Then number 2 is 28 Days Later.
That one I love.
And the number
That's
1.
That's like Kevin's favorite movie.
I love the 28. So the 28 Days Later was phenomenal. 28 Weeks Later was okay. Now they're doing 28 Years Later. It's coming soon.
And the number 1 horror movie of the 21st century, Kill List, from 2012. I've never even heard of this.
I gotta look that one up if it's that good.
Yeah, if it's top on the list and it's some obscure, I mean, maybe it's some movie. Probably everyone listening is like, oh yeah, Kill List. It's a great one. But I've never heard of
it. The one I want to see of the newest ones is I want to see Long Legs to see if it's actually good. But I'm always disappointed by new ones.
Yeah, that one looks more weird than scary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.